Back to order. The next item on the agenda is audience participation. Do we have anyone who has signed up to speak this evening? No. Okay. The next item is written communications.
We have not received written communications.
No written communications received. Next item is the consent agenda. We are having approval of bills in the amount of $182,540.69, an advance pay of $198. Number two, approval of the payroll of $464,227.82, and approval of council minutes for March 24th, 2014.
So move.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Question, Harry.
Question? Dennis?
There's eight individuals that went on, there was some kind of a travel and training. Was that through Mike?
If it refers to ACS, there's a communications academy that's held annually down in Seattle, and we sent two carloads of our volunteers down for that training. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on the agenda is our council action items. The first item is the Bayview sewer variance request. Raven, is that going to be your baby?
So you all have a graphics in your packet similar to what I put up. I had a large-scale map, but it's not loading on the computer for some reason. But essentially, the background is that we've been contacted by the director of the Science of Spirituality regarding his property at 5560 Bayview Road. As you could see by the map, the property is in the city limits. It's at the very south end of the city limits. And the development immediately to the south of him had sewer installed about 8 years ago by Birch Bay Water and Sewer District. And so that area is all in the county. Kind of plays in a little bit to Bill's presentation, talking about how small lots should have individual septic systems, and obviously this was the case for these folks as well. In any event, the Meditation Center is interested in getting public sewer on their property. The way that our code reads is that a connection to a public sewer is required if you're within 200 feet. Well, this is kind of one of those gray area kind of things. The public sewer that he is closest to is the Birch Bay Water and Sewer District sewer. That is public sewer. But our code has this as our part of our service area because it's in the city limit. So I'm calling it a request for a variance in that to allow essentially this particular site to be served by Birch Bay until such time as Blaine Public Sewer becomes available. And he has indicated in his letter, which is also in your packet, that when the Blaine Sewer is extended to within 200 feet of his property, he would be very happy to connect to the Blaine Sewer system. So we've had initial consultations with Birch Bay Water and Sewer. They are willing to serve this parcel, provided that he also gets public water from them. And what we would propose to do is essentially enter into a service area agreement amendment of some nature with Birch Bay to kind of formalize that. But I wanted to bring it to you first, see if I created any heartburn on your part, and if you agree with me that really the most important thing is that the site be connected to sewer, and even if it's not ours, that's better, in fact, for the environment and so forth, I would request that you authorize this variance. I'm calling it temporary because, again, I'm hoping that, our comp plan states that we will serve this part of our city limits with sewer at some point, and so we are hoping that at some point this variance would go away and we would, in fact, be serving this customer.
Questions for Raymond? Paul?
How is Birch Bay sewage treated now?
They have a fairly old-style system with settling basins and so forth. They do not treat their sewage to nearly the degree that we do, but they operate with a Department of Ecology permit, and they have, as far as I'm aware, they have not had any overflow violations or anything of that kind.
Just cost to figure that?
Just the time it took me to write this.
Any other questions?
Raven, how big an area is that they're, that building is it?
They have five structures. They have one home, and then they have like little camp structures for when they do their meditation camps. That's something that we'll need to work out with Birch Bay is what equivalent residential unit is that, because it's not really public, but it's a little more than just a single-family house. So we'll figure that out, and we'll bring that information back to you.
Any further questions? Okay, so the staff have recommended that the council authorize this temporary variance from BMC 13.08 and direct staff to prepare a service area amendment with Birch Bay Water and Sewer District.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any other questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on our agenda is Ordinance 14-2852, amending the 2014 budget for the Gateway Wetland Mitigation Fund. Jeff, is that you?
Yes, I will take this one. So as you heard in the study session earlier, this budget amendment transfers $20,000 from our Rural Economic Development Fund loan, or loan fund, to the Wetland Mitigation Fund for the wetland project, as was discussed earlier. And as you heard during that study session, that if the project moves forward, then any revenue generated from private development will reimburse the RED fund. And so this is transferring that $20,000 as is required as a match for the port grant. So staff recommends that council waive the second reading and approve Ordinance 14-2852, amending the 2014 budget for the Rural Economic Development Fund 402 and the Wetland Mitigation Fund 623. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions for Jeff?
One.
Dennis?
If the project isn't completed, then that money that was taken from RED is...
Just the project does not move forward, correct. Yeah.
Are there any further questions? That'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
I'm sorry, I missed
you.
We need a motion.
First.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you.
Next item on our action items is number 3, setting public hearing on petition for the TOR annexation. Michael, is that you?
Yes, and I hope that we can go without illustrations. But you probably will remember this request came forward initially as a letter of intent or a notice of intent to annex, which is the first step in which a proponent asks the city if they will consider annexing their property. And that was passed by Resolution 163414 on February 10th of this year. And what that allowed the person writing the letter to you to do was to go forward with a petition. So at that time, you set the future zoning as manufacturing subclass A. You determined that the boundaries as they were proposing them were acceptable and that they didn't need to be adjusted to a different shape or size or include other areas or exclude some areas. And also you determined that they would be responsible for their fair share of the city's indebtedness. In other words, a loan or a bond that we have due would be spread over a little bit more property of a couple more people. And so that was included in a petition. The petition was forwarded to the property owners. You have a copy of that. All of the property owners that represent any of the parcels involved have signed the petition. So they need 60% participation by value of the land. They have 100% participation by value of the land at this point. It is required that you hold a public hearing. So what we're asking you to do tonight is just set the public hearing for your next regular meeting, which would be April 28th. The proponent's consultant, Mr. Larry Stoner, is here. If you have any questions for him, he's more than welcome to address those at this point, or if you have questions for me, the actual action on this would come forward on the 28th. Anything?
Questions? Dennis? When they originally proposed this, there was one parcel that was not included that is now included?
When they originally proposed this, that parcel was included, but that person had not signed the letter of intent. They have since signed the petition. So they went from potentially being annexed without their involvement to being parties to the annexation.
Further questions? Okay, we've been asked, staff recommends that we pass a motion to set a public hearing for April the 28th, 2014. And direct staff to prepare an annexation ordinance for consideration. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any further other questions or comments? Now I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is number 4, Wave Cable Conduit Lease Agreement. Raven, I think that's you.
So this agreement is with BlackRock, a.k.a. Wave Cable. They were able to find a new customer for their fiber on Fir Avenue, just south of Boblett Street, and they contacted us about using spare conduit that we have from our project on Boblett for use for this extension. You might ask, why would we give up some of the conduit that we've been in? Well, this conduit has been in since 1994, and it was put in for as a quote-unquote spare, and we've never needed that spare. And in conversation with our light crew, we still have another spare in that circuit. So we feel pretty comfortable with this particular arrangement. And the other part of this for us is that this provides a mechanism to getting that fiber to our property in the Gateway site. And in fact, part of the agreement has essentially committed BlackRock to making that extension happen at such time as a developer comes to that site at no cost to that developer. So this is something that we've reviewed with our legal representation. The negotiated price is on the upper end of what they would normally pay for such a use, and so we're asking for your approval for our city manager to sign this particular agreement. And I'm available for questions if you have any.
Questions for Raven?
Yeah. Raven?
Yeah, Paul? Okay. Come back to you in just a second.
If I understand it correctly, this is fiber optic, so it could mean computers.
Right.
And so why is the money going to the light fund?
Because the light fund installed that conduit. It's owned by the light utility.
Dennis, that conduit will only be used for fiber?
This is actually a non-exclusive agreement. So they will be putting that fiber in an encased, it's a 6-inch conduit, and the fiber itself is encased. So we could conceivably lease this out to somebody else who wants to share that 6-inch with BlackRock, and that is allowed for in this agreement.
But it doesn't have to be fiber, it could be some
It could be some other use. It will not be electrical. Our primary needs to have its own, be separate, have its own conduit.
Is there, are there laterals off of that?
Well, the Fir Avenue is the one lateral on that particular run, and then it goes all the way to the highway, and then the conduit, it goes through a shared utility vault under the highway and then continues on Boblett going east to Odell.
Bonnie has a question.
So there's no way for any of this money on this or anything in the future to go into our IT fund. Is that correct?
That would be nice, but I don't think that that's an appropriate use of it. This is just a lease agreement. It doesn't mean that, well, I take it back. And we also have pole hanging agreements. It's the same thing. The money goes to the utility that built it.
Further questions? Okay, the recommendation is the council authorize the city manager to sign the conduit occupancy agreement. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been put on the floor. I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is Resolution 1639-14, Multi-Jurisdictional Population and Employment Projections. Michael?
That is a mouthful, isn't it? And you
yes,
even
it is.
Abbreviated it from what's on the actual resolution. This is a multi-jurisdictional resolution that's being reviewed by all the city councils in Whatcom County as well as Whatcom County Council. Whatcom County Council has passed it. Ferndale passed it. Last week, I believe, and Linden has passed it, and I think one of the other smaller cities so far. Bellingham has considered it, but I don't think it went through yet. It was in a study session. So it's basically moving its way through. The goal here is that we're all moving forward together as a unit, cooperating and effectively updating all of our comprehensive plans. So this reaches back to the discussions that we had about projected growth in Blaine over the next 23 years. We have to plan for a 20-year planning horizon starting in 2016, so we're planning to 2036, and these numbers we've talked about before. So you passed numbers that were recommendations for Blaine. All the other cities passed numbers, and Whatcom County Council passed numbers in consideration of their urban growth areas, Columbia Valley, which is out over by Kendall, and Birch Bay, of course, we all know, and some others like that. And so bringing all of those together in one resolution makes it so that the county council is then reviewing all those numbers as a unit. What that meant, we picked a high number. The other cities also picked high numbers. The county actually, in some instances, picked relatively low numbers. So when you look at them in aggregate, we are asking for a little bit higher than was expected. And again, I want to point out, make it really clear, not higher than what was expected by the Office of Financial Management, but just higher than that target middle that we were saying we would look at. So ultimately, when these numbers come back around, they may not be this big. They may be lower. We may be asked to take a smaller number. But this is our go-ahead for Blaine to basically plan towards these, look at these, evaluate them over the next couple years, and determine if that works and if we can effectively satisfy this influx of population and potential employment. So it has, as I said, been passed by Whatcom County Council. When it was passed by Whatcom County Council, there was a great deal of discussion about this item, and they added a couple of whereases, and I want to draw your attention to those. They're the last two. On the first page of the resolution, they are the last two. And it's, whereas the County Council has requested staff to work with the cities to develop an effective, robust transfer of development rights program as part of the 2016 comp plan update, and whereas it's the county's intention that any request to expand an urban growth area will include a proposed interlocal agreement to transfer or purchase development rights from rural or resource lands when annexation occurs, now therefore be it resolved. Whereases are non-binding parts of resolutions. The only thing that really counts is the, if you go to court and sue over it, they will look at the whereases, but the only thing that you're really enacting is comes after now, therefore, be it resolved. And so I want to point out first those whereases. The county is basically speaking to the idea of wanting to institute a transfer of development rights program for property to gain its density when it is annexed. So it would, you would basically, we wouldn't, the city wouldn't, but a developer, a person annexing and bringing the property in, would need to purchase development rights out in the county to retire them on agricultural land or on forest resource lands or mineral resource lands and move those into the urban density area that they're proposing with annexation. The county's suggesting that's something they want to work on. It's not being enacted by this. And there's not an ordinance here that's being created that's requiring it. But it is something worth keeping in mind that this is something that the county council is looking towards. When Ferndale passed their ordinance a couple days ago, they passed an ordinance, or excuse me, when they passed their resolution, they passed a resolution alongside it that says, whereas there isn't a TDR program that works, we think the county needs to do a lot of work on this. But they did also pass the multi-jurisdictional resolution. So I think it's fair to say that the planners, the planning directors throughout the county are saying, okay, not a terrible idea, but you got to come up with a program that works before we're going to be able to ask our councils to even consider it. But nonetheless, the numbers in the population projection are all numbers that everyone agreed on, and they are the numbers that we requested. So staff's recommendation is for you to pass the resolution so that we can continue to cooperatively move down that road. But I did want to bring it to your attention that the county is sort of putting the rest of us on notice that this is a program that they'd like to begin to look towards, which is essentially a concept, like I said, where you would more or less purchase density when you annex in order to add that density.
Questions for Michael? Okay, we're being asked to adopt resolution 1739-14. 1639-14. Okay, I'll look for a motion.
So move. Second.
Okay, motion is on the floor. Let's call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay. That's the last of our action items. Next item on the agenda is the Commission, Committee, and Board reports. First item is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Clark.
I will defer to our City Manager, Mr. Wilbur.
Good evening, Council. Just a brief report. The Economic Development Committee has met. We got two requests for proposal responses. You did read about those in the paper. The committee decided to interview both parties. We're trying to organize those meetings now. We did have them scheduled as of Friday afternoon. Then by Friday evening, one of them called and said they need to reschedule. So that schedule's seemingly changing. But the idea then is to meet with both parties, have a standard set of questions that we're going to ask each one of the groups. And then the committee will make a recommendation to the council on next steps. The next steps would include things like due diligence, visiting the sites, talking to the bankers, you know, doing as much investigation as we can to determine the capabilities and capacities. We certainly would have the group, you know, come to the city council to be introduced and make a presentation relative to what they, you know, what their vision is for the property and for the city as far as that goes. So good steps. I think we're making progress. It seems slow, and it certainly feels slow, and I think it is, but these are really important decisions to make. So appreciate the support of the committee and council as well. I'll take any questions you might have.
Questions for Dave?
Dave, is it feeling that there's really a difference between what we've asked for in the requests for proposals and what we got?
Well, I think there's certainly one proposal, the Blaine Connected, you know, I think dialed right into what the RFQ wanted. They responded briefly, succinctly, relative to what the request was. The other party has a completely different concept. You know, if you read through their proposal, they don't believe the city should be developing the Gateway property. They think they should be developing downtown or, you know, finding other public lands that the city owns, for example, at the Marina Park to be developed. They think there's higher potential and possibilities, and that the effort and work going into the Gateway property won't provide as much benefit to the city. So that's why I think it's important to listen to both groups. We're following the council's direction on the Gateway property. That's what the Hebert Report studied, and I think that's the real estate that's been on the market for sale. So we're going on that direction. So I think the group is invited to come in and talk about what it is they see. I don't know if the Economic Development Committee would agree to that. One of the differences besides that is that we're looking for private financing. And so Blaine Connected has private financing that they're going to talk about when we interview them, and they'll tell the council about that. The other group doesn't have that capacity at hand. Now, they would tell you, they've told me, we can acquire financing. So I'm not suggesting they don't have money. It's just that the partner with Blaine Connected, one of them, is a financial partner specifically.
Okay. Any other questions for David?
If not, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Those meetings are scheduled as
Thursday and Friday.
The Thursday, the 23rd. 24th. I'm getting my dates are all mixed up here. So Thursday is the interview with the Blaine Connected. We scheduled Friday with the other group. They're not going to be able to come on Friday. They'd like to do sometime in May, which really pushes it out much farther. So we need to talk. The chair and I are going to meet this week to talk about that. Schedule.
So it's just the one next week.
Yes.
Yes. What time do you want me
to? We'll talk maybe a little bit about that. Thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee. Steve.
No report.
No report. The Boys and Girls Club. Steve.
Yes. I'm prepared to give a report, but Joel is here. Joel, would you like to come up and say anything, or want me to continue?
Joel, if you'd be kind enough to state your name and address for the record.
Joel Todd, Birch Bay, and director of the Boys and Girls Club.
Thank you, sir.
I was talking to Steve, we have an upcoming event on the 20th, May 6th. We're inviting the public. The Boys and Girls Club of Whatcom County has taken the lead on doing some roundtable sessions throughout the county in communities that we serve currently, and also in areas of the county that we don't have a physical Boys and Girls Club. And we basically want to sit down with the community and just find out what resources when it comes to youth programs and youth services do we have, and that are we lacking. And then the second half of the conversation really is, how might the Boys and Girls Club take the lead on filling some of those gaps, or partner with other organizations to fill those gaps. So it really is an opportunity to sit down with the new CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Whatcom County, Heather Powell, speak to her directly on what do we need, what do we dream for, what are the realities of, you know, building a new club and a swimming pool and park and maybe an ice rink, but it's really an opportunity for us to just kind of share our thoughts. So, you know, I want to invite everybody here, but we're also looking for a smaller group. You know, we don't really need 500 people, but we're looking for, you know, 25 to 30 community members from different aspects of youth services. So definitely, you know, daycare and any sort of pre-K. Any sort of school-related, after-school, into the high school teen world, you know, library, Parks and Rec, Boys and Girls Club, whoever wants to come to the table and kind of join up and share their thoughts. And it'll be at the Senior Center from 6 to 7, I think.
6 o'clock. So May 6th on the 6th, it's a, as Joel said, a very important day to
and
plan the future at the Boys and Girls Club in Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
He also shared with me today they're averaging over 90 kids a day in that mm-hmm. facility, which mm-hmm. is amazing. And briefly, he was talking about their new teen area they're using, that it's working really well.
Mm-hmm.
This is second year, Joel?
Yeah, the second year we took away an arts and crafts room from the little kids and gave it to the teens, which was a battle. But the teens love it, and we went from about two or three middle schoolers to probably 20 to 30 actual high schoolers coming over every day after the school to hang out, grab a snack. A lot of them will come over after practice or come over early and then go to practice. So it's just that spot where they can get, you know, be safe in between, you know, going home and getting dinner or getting picked up from the family. So we're really excited because, I mean, if anybody's ever worked with teens, if you can get them to show up, you know you're doing something right. And to have that crew come in every single day is really a fun thing to see.
And from that, you were able to get some of them over spring break, some employment too, which worked out well for them.
Yeah. We had a gentleman, a community member, come in, was looking for some muscles to dig ditches and do some weeding. I grabbed a couple of my basketball, football kids that were sitting around being bored playing video games, and they went out there and made some gas money. And, you know, so it was a great opportunity to, you know, connect to the community that, you know, might not have kids or might not need the Boys and Girls Club. But we have now a pool of dedicated teens that we can hire out, so, which is cool. Good opportunity for them.
Cool. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you, Joel.
So, again, May 6th at 6 o'clock, it really is important to get the people out to tell us, to let the Heather know what we want in our community for the Boys and Girls Club. So hopefully try to make it.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. I think a skating rink would be good.
Yeah.
Hey, the Blaine Chamber of Commerce, Bonnie.
They had a meeting, I guess it was just last week. The director of the president, I suppose, of the Birch Bay Chamber of Commerce spoke about their activities, and they're wanting to work with Blaine as closely as possible. And it was very interesting, a lot of things going on down there, and they're very excited to work in conjunction with Blaine. That was a good thing.
Bonnie. WTA, Paul.
The monthly meeting will be this Thursday, 8 o'clock, in the county council chambers. One of the topics of discussion may well be extension of service to serve the Nooksack in the eastern part of the county.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie.
No report.
Okay, Library Committee, Dennis.
They meet next Wednesday.
Okay, Senior Center Liaison.
Two things. They had a rummage sale this last Saturday, and coming Saturday is monthly breakfast.
Okay. Planning Commission, Mr. Jones.
No report from the Planning Commission, sir, but I do have one from the Park and Cemetery Board. Just wanted to let you know about a little change that's in the works on something that you had seen and approved previously. You'll remember there was a proposal from the Pacific Arts Association, kind of led by Bruce Wolf, to put up an interpretive plaque regarding the vigil statue. And when we brought that forward and in the proposal, it was presented in concept as a concrete podium of sorts, or perhaps a stone podium that it would go on, and that was what you had seen pictures of, and that was what was in your proposal. As we've developed that concept some more, it essentially evolved into, it will be a metal structure that will be sort of a stand, perhaps not all that different than this, really, the podium here, that holds the plaque. The plaque is beautiful. It's been created. It is here in the city. We have it. And we're working on basically a metal frame stand that will hold it there. There are a couple of reasons. One, it's just less expensive to create. It's lighter. It's not a big chunk of concrete sitting out there on top of that that deck. And it'll be just faster and easier to put together. And if we ever need to maintain it, it will be pretty easy to do. Whereas concrete, if it starts to crack or age or chip or something, it's not quick and easy to repair. So that's going to be different than what you might be expecting when you see it. We didn't want that to be a shocker.
Did you say marble? Maybe.
It's going to be metal.
Oh, metal.
Metal. That's why I'm telling you.
I thought you said marble.
No.
Marble's a living organism. It turns black in about 15 minutes when it's by the ocean.
Oh, so no, it's going to be metal. And it'll be...
you have to have a full-time pressure washer.
It'll be... powder coated, dark color, probably brown or black to complement the structures out there. Oh, yeah, not tall like the podium Raymond's pointing out, but it'll be a structure that holds something up like this. It's more like a couple feet off the ground. It's not way up in the air. The plaque is actually quite large, so the concrete chunk would have ended up being really large, so this will just make a lot more sense. It'll look great.
Is it going to be on the platform where the sculpture is?
It's going to be actually, it's going to be very much like if the three of you were the statue and I were reading the plaque. It's going to be about this far away, and I'll be looking at the faces of the people in the statue with the water to my back. So okay, it will be on the deck as a freestanding structure.
So that won't get in the way?
It will probably get in the way. But that was the trade-off, and the decision that was made was that the idea is that you can stand and read about the vigil while viewing it. So people will have to learn to set up events and things in a little bit of a different manner because it's not portable.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Small Cities Caucus. David, I think we have a meeting tomorrow, do we not?
More morning.
Finance Committee. Jeff, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, we met about 2 weeks ago, and we continued to review general fund projections, and I also provided a 10-year snapshot of general fund history, our revenue and expenditures, and looking at various trends, our sales tax revenue, as well as personnel costs, and how those variances can affect our general fund. And the committee also requested a number of research items that I am working on, and so we need to schedule another meeting where we'll review those items, and then we'll talk about next steps.
Okay, thank you. Whatcom Council of Government will report the North Whatcom Fire Update. Chief Hollander.
Good evening, Council. First, I need to apologize. I forgot the copies of our newsletter. They're sitting on my desk waiting for you.
How disappointing.
Disappointing. I'll drop those off to Sherry tomorrow. And the second thing, a little update on the adoption of the latest fire code. We have had a meeting with staff and outlaid a plan. I have spent some time on it, but I've got quite a bit of time to go, so I'm hoping maybe in a month to get it to Michael there and the process. So we'll be working on that through the spring and get that accomplished.
So that'll be a Blaine code, City of Blaine code amendment to adopt the current fire code.
Okay. Chief, there's been some articles in the newspaper regarding disaster responses involving train derailment. Is that going to be a state issue? Are you aware of? Is that going to be a state requirement that we?
There's been nothing at my level or at the fire district's level. We haven't had any discussions, so I'm assuming that's all going to be at the state level.
I think they're going to enact, either federally or state, they're going to enact
the safety standards.
Safety standards, yeah. For, but you haven't heard anything specific.
Nothing down at our level, nope.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, thank you, Chief.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is Department Reports, Public Works. Raven, is that going to be you?
We need to get our agenda organized so that Michael and I don't go back and forth. We just stay at one and then get tall again. So a few things to update you on. First, you may or may not notice that some of the lights in City Hall are looking a little different. So our process at doing the energy conservation work has started in this building. And I'd say work is going well. It's maybe a little slower kickoff than I expected, but we're getting there and got good contractor who knows the building well, and we feel good about that. Last meeting, I let you know about the address change letters that were going out on Allen Street. We're getting ready toward the end of this week to issue another batch on Harvey. We're kind of prioritizing these based on developments that are happening so that we can hopefully be in advance of those developments. I will say that based on the feedback from the first mailing, we got a few calls, we've kind of tweaked the letter a little bit, and I think it's a little more informative. We're giving a little bit more time for the transition and so forth. So hopefully you're not getting angry calls from constituents. This Thursday, the head of the WashDOT Rail and the project manager for the rail plan are coming up to the IMTC meeting, and which is in Bellingham this month, and we're going to be going to lunch to talk to them more specifically about the steps for a passenger stop in Blaine. So they heard us in the rail plan. You know, it's not specifically being called out as an action item in the rail plan, but the steps by which it needs to take place are. And for not just Blaine, but for any other jurisdiction. So it's a lunch will be with Dave, Bill Bullock, and myself. And if there are interested council members, we'll make sure we don't, we don't want to necessarily announce it as a public meeting because it would be rather awkward. But if there are a couple of you that would like to attend, we'd love to have you. If not, I'll provide an update at our next project report.
What is the meeting?
I'm sorry. Yeah, this Thursday at lunchtime, I'm thinking Chata Thai. The timing might not be precise because they're coming up from Bellingham, from a meeting in Bellingham. But
it's going to be at Chata.
Yeah. So if you can, I maybe get an indication just so Sherry knows if she needs to provide a notice. So. More about the rail plan and how you would make another passenger station happen, whether it be the old train depot or a new one.
I understand what are long years, but they have these just like little things, little credit card machines, you get a ticket to go.
Oh, yeah, we're far away from getting to that point, unfortunately. Okay, so I'm not seeing any need for notice.
I may be there. I don't know if I can assure you.
Thank you. The LED street lighting project is also getting going. As you know, we awarded a contract in February to Northwest Edison. The materials for that light replacement are coming in this week, and we expect that they'll be starting in the Semiahmoo area by the end of the month. The contractor is indicating he's going to be running two crews, and so he should be in and out of there very quickly. Part of the next phase of that is our is the remainder of the street lighting that'll be in other parts of Blaine, and one of those is downtown. We selected a light choice at H Street before we did that project, and it was a decision based on the comparison of those lights with the existing high-pressure sodium lights that are on other parts of downtown. So where we did them was a comparative. Now that we are going from LED, or for taking the rest of those high-pressure sodium out and going to LEDs for the rest of downtown, the contractor is highly recommending we go with something a little brighter, a little brighter, I guess is the word. Our light department is putting a test light up, or has put test lights up on 3rd by the police station and by the bank, so that we can compare how they look next to the ones on H Street, but at the same time see the big difference that they make compared to the high-pressure sodium. The reason why I'm telling you this is that I want to make sure that if we're doing anything that is a change to something that you have recommended, I want to make sure that I'm making that recommendation with knowledge and not going to do something in a way that would not be acceptable.
Raven, are these different from the test ones that were put up previously on 3rd? Mm-hmm. So this is a little brighter than was it up there before?
Okay. Well, I know this could be a sensitive subject, so I'm trying to be as inclusive as I can, just to let you know that I have a high degree of regard for the people that are making the recommendation. They pointed out to me the reasons why they're making the recommendation. The actual lenses on those older light posts are more yellow. So if we put the same lights that are in on H Street in those, we're going to continue that. It's going to continue to be a slightly different color. Yes, sir.
Since I have these, I live on three corners, so I've got them all over around my house. I can already read the newspaper in the middle of the night.
I'm not talking about Semiahmoo, I'm talking about downtown. Yeah. The ones in Semiahmoo have been tested and tried and true from the Transportation Improvement Board. They've been doing them in communities all across the state, and we went with their recommendation for those. Right. So back to the downtown question, I guess I wanted to invite those of you who are interested to come out and look in Third. If you feel that this is objectionable enough that you want to schedule a separate meeting for which you would actually vote, we can maybe arrange that. But again, I have a lot of respect for the people that are making the recommendation, and it makes sense to me when you were previously comparing a light that's high-pressure sodium to an LED, why you would have went with a less bright color, but now that we have LEDs up there next to another LED, that might not be as good of a situation. So Wayne is going to be out there tonight around 8:30 actually testing the light levels so we can have some science in with the decision at the same time. But are there those of you that are interested enough that you would want to vote on something like this?
I want to take a look at it, but I don't know. I'll just
okay.
Give my opinion.
Okay. So might I ask that you maybe do that tonight or tomorrow and get back to me? Okay. So if I can get an answer this week from any of you, I will assume that if you have no comment, you're not going to contact me. If you like it, and you don't need to contact me, but if you have any serious issues, please let me know, and we'll either discuss them or set up an actual council meeting at 8:30 at night some night. All right, and then I think I have one more thing. I'm sorry for taking so long today. Oh, just an update on the Marine Drive pier. We met outside. We've now met with the port twice. We've come up with a couple of different scenarios for repairing the existing road, but after a little thought and reflection, their contractor went back last week to do a little more work, and we actually saw a little more damage just with that. We've decided to sit back and actually get a professional third-party consultation as to what we can do to make that a safe place for our citizens. So the road is going to remain the way it is for a little while longer while we do that. I'm going to do that as quickly as I can, but I feel that public safety is more important than having vehicular access out there right now. And so I just wanted to let you know that it's going to take a little bit more time. And I will keep you posted. Any questions?
Questions for Raven? Thank you, Raven. Chief Kassler, you got anything on public safety?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a couple of points. Follow up on Mrs. Bensmiller, her burglary complaint from a couple of weeks ago, who she visited with counsel. That investigation continues. We collected more DNA samples today, and we're continuing our investigation. However, we have not arrested anybody, and we have not recovered any property. So, we had an incident of, almost a luring incident a few days ago, where an adult in a vehicle attempted to call over a group of girls and entice them into his vehicle. It actually happened not too far from the Boys and Girls Club, and it was to the Boys and Girls Club, which the girls immediately and instantaneously ran to advise adults what had happened. They did exactly what they should have, and we're following up on that incident, but we were very happy that there was a place for those kids to go. It was a couple hours after school, approaching dinner time. So, we participated with most of the other agencies in Whatcom County on a distracted driving emphasis. In fact, it's going on through tomorrow. So if there is one week when you don't want to be talking on your cell phone or texting while you're driving, this is it. For what it's worth, we have had fewer violations cited in our community than I think most other places in the county. And just from what I've been listening to on the radio, I think our motoring public should be commended because our officers have been out watching and trying hard, and we have had relatively few violations over the last few days. So I consider that a win, actually. We're continuing. I think I mentioned a couple of meetings ago that we're into cross-training. Again, with once every 2 years, we do a strong push with Border Patrol and our other area agencies to do cross-training for, we call them active shooter response scenarios. We started the planning a few months ago, Officer Norbus, and we are now actively engaged in that. We're using the old City Hall building and actually the school campus on Sundays. So if you see activity or you get comments from anyone, that is what is going on and will be for the next several weeks on at least that one day of the week. Just almost a closing note, we have effectively completed the installation of our in-car video systems. We now have in all of our primary patrol cars video cameras and audio recording for all traffic stops and all incidents, and the officers have taken to it quite well. It's proven to be an excellent system. The U.S. Border Patrol assisted us with the funding for the program, actually under Operation Stone Garden, and it's proven to be very effective in the communities where it's used, not only for providing as accurate as possible a picture to the court and other people who might need to review an incident, but also raises the level of professionalism and courtesy all the way around. So that's worked out very well. I've been very impressed by how our officers have taken to the program. Couple of stats. Since we're at the end of our first quarter, just to let you know that in most areas, we're running about normal, things like animal complaints and burglaries. There are some areas where we are out of kilter, however. Traffic, over the last couple of years, our traffic complaints have continued to increase. We are actually up 33%, I was just checking, over the last 3 years. Our number of complaints about traffic continue to increase. Our collisions are also up 26% over the last couple of years. It's something that we are actively working on, but apparently we need to do even better at. And thefts, for some reason, are up a total of 58% over the last 2.5 years. If there's one place where we've done well, it's in our juvenile problem, juvenile contacts. We are actually down 50% from where we were just a couple of years ago. And I have to think some portion of that goes for our friends at the Boys and Girls Club and also to our being able to have an officer back on campus, our school resource officer program. So I very much thank you for allowing us to reengage with the school campus. So any questions I can answer for you folks? Oops. Sir?
Mike, one of my questions or whatever else, we don't seem to be getting any improvement on the problem on is it just me, or is the volume about the same? You know, or is there anything else we could do to notify the public to try to get them to realize there's a stop sign there?
Dots.
People other than putting barricades down.
Aside from having a live crossing guard there, I am more than open to any suggestions which our engineering professionals might be able to bring to bear on this. You know, we have oversized stop signs. We have stop painted on the crosswalk. We have flashing red lights. So,
you could change the sign to stop, eh?
To their credit, from where they sit, the officers can't tell what the license plate is on the vehicle, and all they do is contact the violator. But I have to agree with you, Mr. Lawrence, that if there has been something that we're not at wit's end about it, but aside from educating each and every driver who may come through, I was looking at one of the advantages of the new video system is that if I get a complaint from a customer, from a citizen, I can sit down and review that video in a matter of minutes. The violations that are written there are actual violations of law. There is no doubt whatsoever, and as I'm sure you folks know. So.
My other area of concern, which I know of yours too, is the school district, especially in the afternoons or whatever else. And then it seems like when the traffic starts backing up, more Canadians use H to try to get to the different border across the Bussard or something. So it's just crazy.
I have to agree with you that as. I actually had interviews with Global TV and Vancouver Sun here within the last week on that topic, in regards to, there seems to be a difference in the perception of what a regulatory sign is for sometimes. So we're not just content with sitting trying to write citations. We're reaching out and trying to educate using different formats, whatever we can find to try to get the word across that we're serious, especially about keeping our kids safe. So.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
City Manager?
No report here.
Could I ask a question of you, sir? Have we heard any back from Mr. Dahl on his trip?
I have not. You know, he's part of our Economic Development Committee.
Actually, I met him the other day at the coincidence. And he said he had a great trip and then it'll be about a year before they actually have students.
It might be interesting to invite him back.
Okay, we can do that.
Keep us up to date on what's happening with that.
Yep. Any other questions or comments?
The other thing I was going to suggest is perhaps that we have someone from Semiahmoo Resort give us an update on what their plans are in terms of the hotel getting it up to date. I think they're having planning an opening in April, in May, I believe. And it might be nice if they would have somebody from the hotel explain to us.
We could ask David about that.
What the hotel's gonna
sure.
What the hotel's planning and and how we can help them assist them.
I did get notice that the Friday night food and entertainment's gonna start up soon, I guess in June. So they're starting back a previous activity which I think was pretty popular. But I'll have them come and talk to the council. Any other questions?
Appreciate it. Thanks. Okay, the next item on the agenda is calendars. I don't think there's anything there that...
That one is canceled.
Which one's been canceled?
Friday, the 25th.
Okay, that's
Friday, the Economic Development Committee.
Okay. And the next city council meeting is going to be on Tuesday, the 27th. Is that correct, Sherry?
No, that would be in May. The next
April
28th.
Yeah, we've got the 28th and then
the
12th. And then we're going to switch to that Tuesday because of Memorial Day, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any unfinished business? Any council new business anyone wants to bring up? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:23.